Hello, this is Duke Theaterly on January 3rd. I'm in the home of Ray Satterley interviewing him on life after mining. Ray, when were you born?
August the 10th, 1904.
And where were you born?
Hobble, Michigan, in the Copper Country.
How long did you live in the Copper Country?
Until I graduated from college in 1925.
What was your childhood like when you lived in Humboldt?
Well, in what way do you mean, what was it like?
Well,
Just a regular, ordinary kid.
Did you play lots of games with your friends, or?
Oh, yeah. Just a run-of-the-mill type of thing for a young fellow to be doing.
What was run to the mill?
Baseball. And every other type of thing in the winter, a little skiing.
What kind of chores did your parents give you after school?
Well, I'll tell you, I was the youngest of three, so I got by with murder without doing too many chores.
So you didn't have much to do, huh?
No, just fool around.
How did teachers treat people in those days?
In what way? Can you give me an idea of what you're thinking about?
How did they discipline you?
Well, I'll tell you, they disciplined us a lot harder than they do today. And we were told, when we were told to do something, we did it or else.
What was the or else?
Stand in the corner or something or other.
Did you ever get your knuckles cracked?
No, huh? Not that far.
Who was your principal then?
Miss Gaffney.
Miss Gaffney?
Gaffney.
Oh, Gaffney. Okay. What was she like?
She was a tough old maid and ruled with an iron hand.
And what did your mother and father do for a living?
My father was superintendent of a stamp mill, copper stamp mill in Hubble, with the Ameek Mining Company.
For what mining company?
Ameek.
Okay.
That's A-H-M-E-E-K, Ameek.
All right. What did your mother do for a living?
Took care of the house and the kids.
Oh, did you guys have cows to milk back then? Or?
No.
No?
No. A few chickens.
Chickens. How did your elders treat you around the farm and that?
Well, I wasn't on the farm, of course, in a small town. They were good to me all the time. My dad was a very, very soft-spoken, quiet individual, but all he had to do was look at you a little rough and you decided that you'd better behave yourself.
And when did your father die?
My father died in 1952. He was 80 years old.
Is your mother still living today?
No.
When did she die?
She died in 1956.
Okay. Were you on any?
Remember, my mother and dad would be awful old because I'm 82.
Yeah. Were there any sports back then?
Any what?
Sports?
Oh, sure. When I was in high school, I played basketball, and in the Lakeland High School.
Lakeland.
And I put my freshman year, and then after my freshman year in high school, we moved to Houghton. And I graduated from Houghton High School and played basketball there.
Did you play football or any other sports?
Didn't play football, just basketball.
Just basketball. What kind of games did children play?
I don't know how to answer that because you just did things as a kid like the kids do nowadays.
Hide and go seek?
hide and go seek and all of the kids' tricks.
Okay. What did you like to do when you had free time, your leisure time?
Well, in the winter time, we lived close to a good hill where we used to do a lot of skiing. Although we didn't have skis like you do today, we used barrel skates for skis and stuff of that kind, and sleigh riding, toboggan riding, and so on. Just the ordinary things that a kid does.
Where did you get most of your clothes?
You mean where, what store? And
yeah.
We did most of our shopping up in Houghton.
Houghton.
From Hubble. Well, of course, I moved to Houghton when I was about 13.
What year was it you moved to Houghton?
Let's see, I gotta figure that out. It's been 3 years, 1919.
1919 you moved to Houghton? Were there a lot of stores there?
Oh yeah, well Houghton is the center for Michigan Tech, which gives it a lot of stores and so on.
When and where did you get married?
Married in Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota. In 1929.
Who did you get married to?
My wife was from that area and lived on a farm in, well, it was Crosby, Minnesota. I was working there at that time at the mines.
Okay. What where did you graduate from college?
Michigan Tech in 1925.
And what did you go on to do after that?
I went to work in Minnesota, in Crosby, Minnesota, for the Inland Steel Company.
Inland Steel.
And worked for them for 43 years before I retired.
And what was your position in Inland Steel?
I was an engineer. Then, you mean?
Yeah.
When I came out of school, I was an engineer, mining engineer. What do you want to know from there on?
And how many years were you an engineer?
Well, I was an engineer for 5 years in Minnesota and then moved to Ishpeming in 1930 and was superintendent of the Greenwood Mine when it first started up.
What year did it start up?
1930.
You were superintendent ever since, or?
No, I was a superintendent. You want the whole works?
Yeah.
I was superintendent of the Greenwood Mine for 5 years, and I was superintendent of the Morris Mine for about 5 years, and then I moved to Iron River as superintendent of the range of several mines down there, and moved back here in 1946 as general manager of all of the mines in the United States not only in the United States, we had one mine in Canada. In 1946 until I retired in 1968.
In 1968, can you remember what was the biggest mine in the United States?
Biggest iron mine?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know which one, but there were several big ones, of course, in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
The mines here at that time were all underground mines, and there were, of course, a lot of them. Cleveland Cliffs. We had the two mines, the Morris Mine and the Greenwood Mine, until they closed up.
What year did they close up, do you remember?
Oh, I don't remember exactly which years they were.
Okay.
I could dig it up, but I don't offhand, I don't know. Mm.
Were you superintendent during the Great Depression, or?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We started to sink the shaft at the Greenwood Mine in 1930, which was right in the depth of the Depression. And that was a kind of a unique situation in that we had to sink the shaft down to rock from surface in a swamp area under pressure, using pressure to hold the water back and sink the shaft. At one time we had as many as 70 colored sand hogs, as they call them, that worked under pressure to put that shaft down. And when it got the ledge, of course, and we took over and they left and we went on to sink it in the rock.
Yes, what were sand hogs?
Sand hogs are men that work under pressure, like in tunnels and shafts and so on, to hold back the water while they're going ahead.
Okay. What was the biggest problem that you had during the Great Depression?
The biggest problem that I had during the Great Depression was to make enough money to live on.
Besides that, the problem in the mine, did you have to lay off quite a few people?
No, not here, because we were in a unique situation in that we were starting to develop a new mine.
What was the new mine you were starting to develop?
Greenwood Mine.
Mm-hmm. What year did you have to close that down?
I don't remember what year that was. That was in the 60s. I can dig those dates up if you ever need them, but I don't.
Okay. How old were you then when the Greenwood Mine closed down?
Well, that would be 50s.
Okay, and you say you were still superintendent of the mines then?
I was superintendent of all of the inland mines. Mm. That one and the ones and the Morris mine and the mines in Iron River, and we started a mine in Canada that I was, and we had some properties in Minnesota.
Did you ever go to the Canadian mine, or?
I used to go up there every 2 or 3 weeks.
Problems up there?
We had our own airplane. The company had our own airplane. We used to fly up there to supervise what was going on with the fellows that were working there.
What was the name of the mine in Canada?
Kaland Ore Company. The Kaland Mine.
Okay. And what did you do afterwards?
Well, I retired in 1968, and since that time, I've had done several odd jobs. I got into the Executive Service Corps and spent a couple of months in Tunisia doing more or less consulting work there in some phosphate mines.
In phosphate?
Mm-hmm.
You only did that for a couple months, or?
That's all. It was just a short assignment by the Executive Service Corps.
What did you do then after you were done?
Oh, a lot of things. I was on the hospital board, and I was very active in Bay Cliff, and I did some work with the Small Business Administration. Various non-paying jobs.
What did you do for a hobby then, once you were totally done with the mines?
Well, I'll show you what my hobby is before you leave.
Okay.
Electric trains.
How many years have you been collecting?
Oh, several years. I've been collecting and building train sets. Build them and then tear them down, build another one, and so on and so forth. Big kit.
Big kit, huh?
Except that when you see it, you'll find out that it's more than a kid's toy.
Speaking of trains, how did you get the ore from the mines to the docks?
Well, the ore from the mines on the Marquette Range went over the northwestern to Escanaba. And we had our own boats that carried the ore from there to the steel plant at Indiana Harbor, Indiana.
Indiana Harbor. How did you?
And I should say, in Canada, we sent the ore from the mine up there to Port Arthur, Port William, over the Canadian rail line.
Did you ever have your mines open in the winter?
Oh yeah, We were underground mines, so we worked all winter, and the mine in Canada was an open pit, and of course we did a lot of stripping and work there preparing for the summer and the winter.
Yeah. How did you ship your ore in the winter?
We didn't ship it, we stockpiled it for the summer shipment.
Okay. And how many piles usually, tons of ore, did you have during the winter?
Well, that depended on which mine. The soft ore mines here in Michigan would produce, half a million tons a year. And during the winter season, we stockpile the production per month in the stockpile.
So you had about 3 tons of ore saved up over winter, huh?
3 tons?
Yeah.
Oh, more than 3 tons.
More ton?
We had maybe 100,000 tons of ore stocked up during the
Wow.
At each mine.
At each mine?
Oh, yes.
And there's how many mines in the Marquette County?
We had 2 in Marquette County and 2 in Iron County and a big one up in Canada.
So you had about 5 mines producing that much. And you shipped that all to Indiana Harbor?
All went to Indiana Harbor, to our own steel plant down there.
What year did most of the mines close around here? Those 5 mines.
Oh, well, you see, they closed at different times.
Yeah.
And the last one that we operated to close was in, we had one, I forgot to mention that we had an open pit mine in Jackson County, Wisconsin. And that and the Canadian properties both closed about 1970s.
Most of them closed then?
About that time, yeah.
Yeah. Did you have anything to do with the Tilden and Empire mines around here?
Only that our company owns a big percentage of the Empire mine, operated, of course, by Cleveland Cliffs. Inland Steel owns 40% of the company I work for. Yeah. Inland Steel owns 40% of the Tilden, of the Empire mine. And they ship that ore, Cliffs ships that ore, over the Northwestern to Escanaba and then down to our plant.
Did you have any sons or daughters that worked in the mine with you?
Not in the mine. I have 1 son. That's all.
What did he do?
He's a graduate of University of Chicago in business and went into computer work.
Computers. What does he do now for a job?
Right now he's in insurance business.
So he didn't have anything to do with the mines?
He never wanted anything to do with the mines after he saw what a tough job.
Who took over your superintendent position after you were done?
I was general manager.
Well, who took over your general manager's?
Phil Pearson.
Is he still?
No, he's retired. In fact, there's been 3 general managers since I retired. Let's see, yeah, 3, and 2 of them have been retired. Well, remember, I'm an old man.
Yeah. If there is one thing you could go back and change about the mines today, what would it be?
Well, that's very difficult to say, because when I started in the mines, which was in 1925, which, if you add it up, is 61 years ago, and the method of mining at that time was entirely different than it is today.
Yeah.
And it's been an evolution in the operation of mines from the days when we were operating in 1925 through the years in which all of the underground mines have gone out of existence and you've gone into the low-grade open pits and concentration of ore. I don't know. I think that the gradual change has been remarkable and well done.
So you think today's minds are better? Or?
Well, by concentrating the ore, they're making a better product for the steel plants to use.
So you wouldn't want to change anything?
No.
If there could be more improvements today, in the modern day mine, what do you think?
There's continual improvements going on. Right now, they're working as you've read in the papers of putting some of the materials into the ore pellets that normally go in the furnace down below to improve the pellets so that, and they're continually working on that. That would change the use of the pellets and the ingredients that have to go with them to make steel. And each improvement is an advancement in the whole iron ore picture.
Yeah. So, you like what you do for retirement then, after all the mines?
Do I what?
Do you like retirement, or?
Oh, sure. Why not? You don't have to be thinking about all of those problems that are, and you can look around and see what problems and that others have, and you can sit back and laugh.
Yeah. And you mentioned problems. What kind of problems did miners have in those days?
Oh, the problems were every problem that you could think of around a mine. I think a mine operation has more diversity in situations that require that are problems that require solving, from physical problems of the mine to the labor problems that you have with the men working in the mines.
Yeah.
And that's not bad.
Did they ever pull any tricks on you when you were in the mine?
Oh yeah, I had lots of tricks pulled on me, but I can't remember all of them.
What was the funniest one you remember?
Oh, I don't know. We used to have at the Morris Mine years ago, we used to have a Christmas party underground.
Why did you hold it underground?
Well, because it was unique and something nobody else was doing, and so on and so forth. We used to have a Christmas party underground. And at that party, everyone that was involved that had any joke on anyone else was a Christmas present for him off the tree. And everyone had something pulled on them.
Did you ever have a bucket of water pulled over your head?
No.
They didn't tie him up?
I'd shoot them if they did. No, I shouldn't say that, should I?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
You aren't putting these down word for word you're making out, aren't you?
Yeah.
I hope so.
What was your most favorite thing to do, like on the weekends and that in mind?
Well, during the Depression, you were so busy working, you were practically working 7 days a week to keep things going. But, I don't know, I like to travel. We did a lot of, my wife and I did a lot of traveling.
Where did you travel to?
I've been in every state in the United States except Alaska. As well as making 3 trips abroad.
Okay. What was it like come home after long hours? Was the family all tired, or?
You were plenty tired normally when you got through with the day's work and wanted to relax.
Yeah. How many hours did you put in a day or a week?
Oh, that's very difficult, because whenever there was a problem, you had to be there. And when those problems came up, you never knew, and you had to adjust yourself to whatever was going on. So to pin it to number of days, I at the Miller's Mine at one time, I was out there at the mine for about 60 hours straight.
Without sleep?
Oh, no. We got a little nap in between, but you were napping out there. We had water problems, and it looked like for a while that the mine was going to actually drown out because we couldn't pump the water as fast as it was coming in. And somebody had to be there to sort of direct things that were going on.
How did you pump the water out of the mine?
Big pumps.
They had big vacuum pumps in those days?
No, there were big centrifugal pumps and plunger pumps.
Did you put in a lot of overtime in the Great Depression? Or?
Well, again, my job was such that it was a 24-hour job. Whenever you wanted, whenever there were things to be done, you had to do them. Whether it was overtime or what it was, we didn't think of, in the management end, you don't think of overtime, you think of keeping things going.
Now, how much was the average paycheck during the Great Depression?
Well, I don't know how I can answer that because I would have to think about it a little bit in order to figure out what it might be. Maybe $600 to $700 a month.
$700 a month?
The fellows were making $5 to $6 an hour. That's about what they were making those days.
Was this?
That's a lot different than it is today.
Yeah. Was there a lot of people living in Ishpeming then? Is this a big...
Just about the same as it is now.
About the same?
Yeah.
How many guys did you usually have working one shift?
Well, different numbers at different mines. The Greenwood mine was a fairly small mine. The Morris mine was a bigger mine. The ones that I had down in Iron River were medium-sized mines. And in Canada, it was a big open pit. So you'd have to refer that to each mine to know the number that you had.
Yeah.
At one time, I think that in all the mines, we had about 1,200-1,400 men.
Now, did you do any sort of refining at the mines, or was that all done in Escanaba?
Well, no, not in Escanaba. The ore was not refined in Escanaba. It was shipped down to the steel plant to make the steel. Yeah. The only place that we did any refining, or if you want to call it such, where we had a pellet plant, was in Canada, the Canadian mine.
And you had quite a few men working in that refining plant, or was that just a few of them?
Well, it's like the plants are around here, 100 or so, in the pelletizing.
What did you ever do in all the states? Why did you have to go to all the states? Was there any particular reason did you have to go in the...
No, having supervision over all of them, you just checked on each one to see that the supervision at each property was handled the way you felt it should be, in the way the bosses in Chicago thought you should have it.
What happened if Chicago was wrong?
Well, can I swear?
I guess.
I was going to say, you kiss the devil. As a manager up here, anything that went wrong was always blamed on the manager, just like it is, and like we're trying to blame on the president now.
So, it'd be time to get the axe, huh?
Well, not that bad, no.
No? Did you ever have to fire anybody from your department?
Oh, yes. There have been times when we... I don't like to use the word fire. I would like to say there were times that we've had to replace people. Which, if you want to call it firing, okay, but...
Well, we can call it replacement. What did you usually have to replace them for? Just not enough labor, or...?
Well, no. At times you have a man in the job who isn't capable of doing it the way it should be done. And when he isn't capable of doing the work the way you think it should be done, you replace him with someone who can do what you want.
So you got rid of quite a few people then?
Oh, no. That's
just a few of them.
Yeah. Now and then it happens. Sometimes, you know, the boys don't behave very well either. And sometimes you have to replace them because they aren't behaving too well. Excuse me.
Okay.
I came out of school, I was an engineer, and as an engineer, you do a lot of underground surveying and such, so you're, and as a superintendent, you go underground and check the operations down there from a supervisory standpoint. But I never worked underground as a miner or labor of any kind.
No, like what did you have to do when you were surveying?
A surveyor has to keep the maps of the mine so they know where everything, where you want to go and where you've gone in your operation for to control the operation of the money.
Okay. You said you used to have parties in the mines.
Well, just one. Christmas time, we for a number of years, we had a little Christmas party we used to have down below.
Did you used to have a lot of family come over on Christmas, or did you usually go to your grandparents?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't have many family around, so... my folks lived in the, my mother and father lived until they died in the Copper Country in Houghton, and we went back and forth and
how did
visiting.
You were just visiting in that?
Oh yeah.
And you say you go back and forth. Did you have a couple cars to your family then, or?
Well, I always had a company car and my own car. So, I had two vehicles that were available to me.
Did your wife ever come to the mine in that, or?
Well, there's not much of an occasion. You always find the women and so on that are anxious to get a trip underground. And we usually accommodate them once in their lifetime, anyway.
You mainly had men working underground?
What's that?
You only had men working
underground?
Oh,
yes. We only had men. In my day, we had no women underground at all.
You had women in the offices, though?
In the office, yeah.
How long did you usually give your miners for lunch break?
Well, over the years, that varied considerably. In Minnesota, the men all came to surface for lunch, and when they came for their lunch to surface, they had a full hour from the time they came up and had lunch and went back again. And I think we did that at the Morris mine too, but at the Greenwood mine, they ate their lunch underground during their full 8-hour shift. They took time enough off for their lunch.
What did they usually bring for lunch?
Oh God, I don't know. Everything, I guess.
Did they, was pasties big back then?
Pasties were great, but I think that you can figure that in those lunch buckets there was everything you could think of, and naturally the different nationalities had their own ethnic foods that they carried and so on. I never dug into their lunch buckets very far.
Nationalities. You had, what kind of people worked in your mine?
We had every in Minnesota, when I first went up there, we had a lot of people around the Crosby area from, of course there were a lot of Swedes as there are in Minnesota, and we had a lot of people that came from the Croatian countries. Those days, Yugoslavia was split up into about four countries after the war, and a lot of them came from that area. Of course, in all of the Michigan mines, you've got a mixture of everything you can think of. All mixed up.
Was Finlanders your most...
Well, I don't know. We had a lot of Finns. They were all good.
Are they?
Yeah, they were all good. You can't pick one nationality over another.
Well...
I mean, and think one are better than the other, because they aren't.
And your house here, that's not too far from what mine over here.
This house?
Yeah.
Well, it's close to the Cliff Shaft.
That's Cliff Shaft?
That's Cleveland Cliffs, of course.
Did you ever have anything to do in that mine?
No.
Nothing?
No.
I
had nothing to do with the Cleveland Cliffs operations at all.
What companies were under Cleveland Cliffs back then?
It was all Cleveland Cliffs back then.
Was it?
Yeah, until they got into the low-grade operations, when the capital expenditures on those low-grade operations are so great that it's pretty difficult for one company to carry it all, and that's when they got partners in to help with the costs.
Who were the other partners in companies?
There are different partners in the Empire than there is in the Tilden.
Yeah.
And in the Empire right now, there's Inland Steel and Jones and Laughlin, which is now LTV, was the old Johnson Laughlin. And small one from Detroit that is in bankruptcy now. Those in the Tilden, there are quite a few Canadian property companies, but I don't know all of them.
That Jones and Laughlin, were they ever associated with Inland Steel and the Moores?
No, we had no one associated with us in our mines at all.
I see, and it was just Inland Steel?
Just Inland Steel, right.
How much money did you guys usually make off of that per year?
I wouldn't be able to tell you, because those things, when you got to that point, were all carried on in your main office, which in our case was in Chicago.
Oh.
And actually, the operations were part of the whole company. So to split it down into mine by mine, it's pretty difficult to give you any figure.
But it was quite a high total for all the mines? Or?
Some of them made good and some of them didn't.
No, how many people were in the families usually of the miners?
Miners' families?
Yeah.
Gee, I don't know. I don't know how I could answer that, because I really don't know. Some of them were big families and some of them small families, and I have no way of knowing exactly.
Well, were they sort of, did they have about two or three kids, or?
Again. Yeah. Pretty hard.
It all depends on how good they ate, huh?
Yeah.
And you got out of Inland Steel, what year was that?
1968. That I can give you a definite date on.
And you've been building model trains ever since?
Oh, no, not since. I didn't get into model trains until I started to slow up a little bit on getting out and chopping wood and splitting wood. I have a cottage up at Lake Michigami, and that's enough to keep you busy. Between a cottage and a house, why, you don't have to look for much else. There's always plenty to be done.
Yeah. When you go out to your cottage in Michigami, you go out by Republic and you see...
No, go out toward Michigami.
Yeah.
Out to as far where, you know, where Browns Beach is.
Yeah.
Well, it's in that area.
Does that ever remind you of working in mines when you go out there?
Oh, no. That's entirely out of... The mines are entirely out of your mind when you go to the cottage.
It's just relaxation,
that's
huh?
That's right.
Did you ever want to go back to the mines after you retired?
No.
Did you
I
miss
made
it?
Up my mind a year or so before I retired that when I retired, I was going to retire and forget the mines.
You didn't want anything to do with them?
No.
So after that, just whatever you wanted, huh?
Relax.
You still enjoy relaxing today,
oh,
don't
yes.
you?
Oh, yes. Well, after a heart attack and a broken hip, you kind of slow up naturally.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Ray. That's all we need for today.
That is?
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.